Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning into this Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much.
And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, how you doing, sir?
We're doing well.
Praise God. I know the last time you were under the weather, and then last week I was under sleep.
All that snow.
I appreciate everyone bearing with me. I apologize, but working out there in that snow, I laid down and take my nap. It ended up being a good night's sleep. So we thank God we're back on the line.
Yeah.
And that God, He knows what's best for us.
Yes, sir.
But it's good to be back and studying the Word of God. We're on the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we're talking about some end time stuff and things that are going to happen. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, Sheila G, is just how the Bible talks about if it be possible, the things that the Antichrist does to deceive the nations, that it could possibly deceive the elect, be God's elect, if it was possible. But it's interesting to see what's going on in our world as far as politically and religiously. You have political party and you have a religious party that's supposed to be of God and moral and just, and these folks are, I would say, off the chain. It's like they got people hoodwinked and bamboozled to hate each other. And that's what we were talking about last time we were together, about how, you know, in the end times, it would get people to start hating each other and to start wars and rumors of wars, and it will be petulance. I'm looking at Matthew 24:7. It says, "For nations shall rise against nation. That's Matthew 24, chapter verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. For they shall many, this is verse 10, be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, this is verse 14, in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see abominations of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever let him understand. Then let him which is in Judea flee into the mountains, that which is on the housetop, this is verse 17, not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not even shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be short. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And then he goes on in verse 25, it says, behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the chamber, believe it not. And I say all these things to say is that there are going to be people in leadership positions that will deceive people to think that they are in leadership for their behalf. And people will go for the okey-doke. And you're starting to see some of that with our president, and with political leaders, and with our religious leaders who claim to love God but hate their fellow man, who claim to, on a daily basis, to have the moral high ground. And for years, you know, you have political parties say they're taking the moral high ground. But these people are right out blatant now that they don't care about anybody other than themselves. And this is what's going to happen until the church is raptured and until the tribulation period comes. And we can see that right now where we have a president that said he could go out in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot people and nobody would say anything to him.
Right.
Yeah.
That is spewing all types of hatred and bigotry and racism. And nobody or anyone is scared to stand up and call a spade a spade. And and this is how it's going to happen. It's just going to be in your face. This is how it's going to happen. And we're seeing it right now. Sheila G.
Amen. And you know, as you were saying about false prophets coming forward and acting like they're Christ, you know, as you read in those scriptures there, and that it will be up for us to believe or not to believe who the true and living God is. When you talk about those such as our president and those that are in power, they truly do act like they're God.
Yes,
you know, even during the election time, it was very much only I can handle it, or I know more than the generals, or I. And then the whole aspect of him tweeting, like he really believes he's God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he said something today that went contradictory to what his party and even those in his White House were putting together regarding these FISA rules, because it was about him. And because he heard something on the itchy ears, those that love to hear what he has to say. So he's saying it like he's God to the itchy ears, those that are following it, not realizing or realizing, but not, I would say not caring that he, that he needs to be weary of what he's saying, whether it's true or not. It's all about pleasing his subjects. so to speak. Mm-hmm. And he truly does act so much like a false prophet that he, in his eyes, he really, I think he thinks he's God,
yeah.
that he's as powerful as God.
Right.
And I say that to say that's a very dangerous thing, because at that point, you're out of touch with the true and living God. And so people
mm-hmm.
are following, not real, putting their trust in man, and man is weak.
There
and man
you go.
And you will fall along with man. A lot of those that follow that little g God are already going to be suffering the consequences. And you see it more and more. And I'm sure there are those that would not want to admit it, but that actually went and followed this little g,
mm-hmm.
believed what
yep.
little g said, voted for him. Now that little g is there acting like a big g, but it has all those cracks and all those faults are showing. It's you've been led by false prophets, and we need to not, you know. I heard on the news somebody said that they just don't. Is there someone up higher up in the Republican Party basically said that the only way they deal with the president now is just to ignore him? But you can't do that, and that's what this word is saying.
Exactly.
Ignore that. You can't. Yes, it's stupid. Yes, it's ridiculous. Yes, it's awful. But you can't ignore it, because if you ignore it, it's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we need, as a church, to reach out, draw others to Christ, so that through the power
mm-hmm.
of prayer, those that truly are saved and trust, and we can gather more to be saved, to be protected from these false prophets.
Amen. And as we deal with this stuff, Dr. G, just so blatant, it lets us know that we're heading closer and closer to the point where the church is going to be raptured from, and then start this tribulation period, where he's talking about don't even have a baby, don't do it at night, because these problems are going to be so insurmountable that people are going to want to die and can't die, and so. You know, we have to, as a church, like you were saying, Sheila G, Dr. G, we have to get serious about this thing, because there has not been a situation in the White House or in Congress like this that I can remember. I don't know, Dr. G. How about you?
No, I haven't either. Boyfriend is definitely one of a kind. And from day one, it's just amazing. I mean, I understand why people did it, but it's crazy, because, you know, they're tired of the regular politicians, so they follow someone who comes out and just basically says what he wants to say. I mean, this man just does not care. From the beginning to where we are right now, and even today, you know, he was cussing in the White House. So, you know, he is the type that is liable to say whatever's on his mind. And I think Sheila G said it. He has no conscience. He just doesn't care. He does believe that he is God.
Mm-hmm.
And he acts like it. And that's scary. And the fact that you've got all these other politicians that
mm-hmm.
will agree
mm-hmm.
with him now and talk about what a good job he's doing. You know, we better wake up and wake up quick.
Absolutely. It's a very sobering time to live in, very interesting, very sobering time to see how people in biblical times behaved in similar manner
mm-hmm.
On the outset of their ruling and their empowerment. And how many people they brought down. I look at the GOP, the Republican Party, and you're saying these people follow this folk person hook, line, and sinker because they're scared that he might
right.
tweet on them or say something about them.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of following, you know, the Constitution, instead of looking out for the people, they're looking out for one man. Is leading, it's like a false prophet, leading them to destruction. And,
yeah, right.
and that's the message the church has to get out, is that the only message that we can follow, the true message, is the true and the living God. You know,
that's right.
I heard on the news where they're talking about this DACA or the Dreamer program, where first you start talking about love, how he wants to be a loving program. But then his mace calls him up and says, that's not what we want. And then he turns back and starts, you know, this stupid mm-hmm. stuff about calling people where people live, you know, asshole, you know.
Right.
And you know, these people are scared to stand up to this guy and say, you know, we're not going to put up with that anymore. You know, we might not be in power or the majority anymore. We're not going to put up. Our country is too great. Our country has been built on so many various nations that we're not going to listen to this false narrative of how you want America to be great again. And that's the false prophet I see in Donald Trump, is that he's spitting a lie that he is going to make America great again. And that's the typical line of the false prophet. The false prophet is saying that I can make this country better than what it is. The false prophet is, and the false Christ are saying that I'm Christ, and look at me, and look at my wonders, and look at my power. But there is only one King of Kings, and there is only one Lord of Lords. And I think the church bears some responsibility of not being powerful or voiceful enough to combat this narrative that it's false, Sheila G.
And that's very true, because when it's almost like we need to have this new revolution, because when you think about it, during the civil rights era, when all of this was going on, which is what they want to go back to, it was the churches that stood up.
That's right.
It was the churches that came together. It was the religious leaders that made that sacrifice, went out in the street, you know, took the dogs, the water,
everything.
Our own mother talked about the time when she was in college, and they sat in a diner with she and her college friends, just sitting there and waiting for someone to say that they had to move. And it was the churches that stepped up in a role from the pulpit to the door and beyond the walls, basically put that message out for the world to see that we're not going to have this. And I think it really is a wake-up call that God has given to us, because he's saying, my church has lost its first love.
Hello.
You know, you're going to have your anniversary, and you want to go out, and you want to have your banquets, and everybody wants to have their own CD and their own show. What are you doing to help the poor?
What are
you doing to help the people? You know, you have these pastors that want to have a big entourage as they walk in, and God is saying, see, y'all went to sleep. You lost your first love.
Oh, boy.
Devil is reigning all. And if we want to make any type of change or to go through, the church has to step it up. The church has to get beyond the walls. The church has to go out and help others. And, you know, when you were talking earlier about how, you know, even in the Bible, it went through that. It made me think about the kings, you know, back in the Old Testament. You know, first they wanted the judges, then they wanted a king. And then, but every time.
Yep.
Once they got that, whether it was a judge or a king or what have you, and they took over, they took their focus off God, put their focus on that person in power, and there were times where there were really people that were in power that were bad. But again, God's like, but that's what you asked for. So we, the church, have fallen short as far as getting out there. And from a spiritual standpoint, to fight this demon, and now we have a demon in the White House because we were not doing what God wanted us to do. And it's truly a wake-up call for all the churches to come together, non-denominational, denominational, forget all of that. Love, preach Christ, preach care for compassion for your brother and your sister. But instead we're having this, and it's being allowed because we sat and didn't motivate people to vote, you know, especially people of color, you know, ancestors that died for that. And we just got comfortable in our nice little houses, our nice little clothes, and our my vote doesn't count, and look what happened.
Amen.
Yeah. And you know, that again, that false message, you know, of make America great again, you know, let's raise America's faith again. Not faith in a flawed history that dealt in racism and division and hate, but that faith again that looked past the color of man's skin, as Dr. King would say, and judged him based upon the content of his character. and have faith in the God that created everybody in his likeness and his image, Dr. G, and that all men in the preamble of the Constitution, all men are created equal and endowed with inalienable rights to have this opportunity to pursue happiness. And when you look at that and then look at what's being spewed in the White House and the Capitol of the United States, that's not the faith that this country was founded on. That's not the Constitution. That's not the more perfect union that the founding fathers were looking for. They said, "In God we trust." They had one common denominator, was that they were trusting God to bring this thing together, and that this idea of democracy in a country would thrive if everyone had a common denominator. They're trusting in God. The God would allow them and touch their hearts to do the right thing, even though they might have different views of how to get there, as long as they were trusting in God, that they believe that they would eventually get there, Dr. G.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Pastor C, and Sheila G, too, you know. But, you know, I guess I'm looking at it from the spiritual side, because our spiritual leaders have lost touch of what they should be about. I mean, you don't hear too much from the churches, from the pastors. And, you know, I'm finding that because we've had several people to come and join the church, and one of the reasons why they come and join is they say it's because of the leadership of the church. You know, they've been hurt by some of these other pastors, and they see a strong leader, you know, in myself. And I thank God for that, because I made up in my mind a long time ago, you know, I'm not about following any group or any preacher. You know, I believe I'm doing what the Lord wants. And it's only a few of us out there now, because a lot of the spiritual leaders, they're so concerned about their glorified titles and how many numbers they have and what they're getting for anniversaries. And, I mean, it's always been a competition, but the church always stood out front. And like you said, you know, that thing of, you know, within the political arena, it was based on "In God We Trust." But all of that seems to have gone out the window now. You know, even a lot of the spiritual leaders voted for Trump and helped to put him in. And now that he's in there, all of a sudden everybody's gotten quiet. You know, they want to complain about doing, but like we said, you know, they weren't doing what they should have been doing in the beginning. They got deceived. I hate to say they got punked out by this fool, but they did. And they believed the lies that he was talking about. You know, he's promised everything to everybody, and none of it has come true except for the wealthy. He's taking care of big corporations, the wealthy. He put a lot of his crooked friends in office, and all of that is beginning to break down around them now. So, you know, we really need to open our eyes, and as we've been saying, get back to that Bible, because until we get back to where it all starts, in God we trust, that we've got to get back there. And, you know, you don't hear anything about anything spiritual from this man. Everything is negative. It's all about him. It's almost as if he worships himself. And that is a scary thing, to hear someone talk about I, me. It's all about him.
And that's what in the book of Revelation, that's the political and religious Babylon. Where it's about self. It's about self promotions, about self. And it's deceptive for the elite few, and that's one of the things Sheila G is is pushing us toward closer and closer toward the revelation is that the social and economic inequality is getting larger and larger, where 1% of the country owns the majority of the money, of the wealth. And as we start moving further and further apart, where you have 1% of the people and the rest of the people are in poverty or in a disadvantage socially and economically, that's when the self-worship becomes, that's when people begin to start having to make a choice of whether to eat or to die. If you have a mark of the beast, where, you know, if you don't have this mark, you don't take bow down to this man or this antichrist or this false prophet, then your family gets killed, you don't have anything to eat, you don't have any place to stay, or you get charged with an exorbitant amount of money. We are fastly coming to that point. And Sheila G., I don't think people read the word enough or people get in the word enough to realize what's happening. And like you said, Dr. G., the spiritual leaders aren't making it known. It's almost like, you know, I got my Cadillac, you know, and I'm happy, you know. Sheila G.
Exactly. And we really do, as a church community, need to go back to the old way of doing things and like serious grassroots efforts. I remember when, even in PG County, that pastor used to be a member of a minister's group, and they were all pastors called Concerned Clergy. Mm-hmm. And that's what they were called, Concerned Clergy. And what they did is they came together as various churches. They'd have revivals, not just to raise money, but also to do and make sure things were done from a spiritual standpoint, but also reach out to the community.
That's right.
So they would have like various revivals in various different churches to draw others in, not only talk about the Lord, but also talk about what the importance of voting, the importance of getting out and supporting their delegates. And even when we, you know, when you had Fairfield Knowles Civic Association, there were a bunch of Christians that came together that fought things like that gravel pit that they wanted to build in front of the school.
Right across from the elementary school, right?
Right across from the elementary school. But again, it was community coming together as one party. Everybody on Sunday, they would leave, they would go to church, and then, you know, come together to help one another. And that is where the church has lost touch. And God is trying to get us to say, okay, it's coming. Like you said, Revelations is coming. If you want to be protected from this, then okay, church community, okay, the love of Christ, you all need to come together and you need to fight this so those more and more people can be saved from this. The destruction is going to happen, but it's up to us to go out teaching and preaching to teach people how to avoid all of that and how to come together and follow Christ. Because if you have Christ in your life, you can handle and deal with anything. And that's what you're saying in the word, is it can come there, but there is a way out. There's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations, but there is a way out. But what I need you to do is the Great Commission. I need you to go out there. I need you to tell people about the goodness of the Lord. I need you to teach. I need you to preach. By coming together as one body in Christ, we can make a difference. We can be that Concerned Clergy. We can be that civic association. We can have that grassroots effort to make sure that our homeless are taken care of, to make sure those that don't have food to eat have food to eat, to make sure that those that are impacted by a hurricane or disasters, and that was what was so horrible about today, the countries we were talking about, the refugees were they were coming here because there was disasters in their country.
Right.
And so we open our arms, as our country always did, give us you're tired, you're poor, you're sick, so that they would have land opportunity here. And I always, you know, I always marvel at when they say, well, we need the highly skilled immigrants to come here. But yet you still go to McDonald's. You still want your building constructed. You still want somebody to come and clean your house and clean your toilet.
That's right.
You think somebody with a doctorate degree is going to do that? You know, we all serve. You know, Paul talks about it. Each member has a role to play. And I'll be the head.
Thank you.
So, you know, so why would you look down on that, on someone that may not have the highest job in the world, but they still play an integral role in making sure things that are, you know, you, last Thursday, you and your team were out digging that snow up to the point that you were not exhausted. But I bet those people that 11th, 12th floor didn't think about that, mm-hmm. but let your staff not be
not
there.
You,
That's right.
And let the over in the building, the water shut down, and one of the toilets were overflowing. You should have seen all the executives running around. I was like, oh, you appreciate me now.
uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So when they say that elite, have that elite thought process and say that because you're not doing this particular job, that you're not on the same level as someone else, that's not how it was meant to be in the Bible. Every person plays a role. Every member, whether it's you're the finger,
that's
whether
right.
you're the foot, whether you're the head, whether you're the bottom, you play an intricate role. And we as a church need to come together as a community, call the spade a spade, and draw others to Christ, come together and pull things, and we can survive this crisis.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You said that so well. And it's just a thing. It's not asking anybody, one person to do it all. It's just asking the individual to give an account unto God. You know, give an account unto God. You know, and be faithful over a few things. And with that attitude, you're always gonna have a challenge because the enemy will try to come on and try to tell you. You're the only one being faithful, and everybody else is not doing anything. But you have to understand that that's the attack of the enemy. Everybody has to humble themselves before God and say, we're in the body of Christ. And I always call myself at work, I'm the sphincter muscle. The sphincter muscle is the butthole that controls the crap.
Yeah. Exactly what it is.
So I'm the big butthole at work that controls the crap.
Yep.
Because everybody wants to crap all over the place.
Exactly.
So I gotta be the muscle that holds the crap back to tell you can't crap all over the place.
Right.
But if you get regular, we can crap on a regular basis and everything will work okay. And it's the same thing as being a pastor. You're the sphincter muscle. You're the stinky member, but you're a necessary part of the body so people don't crap all over the place. And that's the problem. People just want to crap and do whatever they want to do all over the place.
Exactly.
And you can't, like you said, you got to call a spade a spade. You know, our president, he just wants to crap and say whatever he wants to all over the place. But the church needs to be that sphincter muscle.
That
holds that crap back and say, you can't do that here.
Right. Nope, not here.
You know, part of it is that people in general, especially the church, you know, Sheila talked about losing our first love, but we've forgotten that we've been called to be servants.
Right.
And, you know, our job serves.
Right.
And from the pastor on down, That's it, basically. We are to serve. The president has been elected to serve.
Mm.
Not about himself, to serve.
Mm-hmm.
He's serving himself.
Right.
And the mother little clowns just follow him because they don't want to ruffle his feathers.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a joke. And I tell folk, you know, I'm not worried about it, but I go and pray on them because I look at all of the craziness going on from the White House on down through the different houses, the Senate, and, you know, it's pitiful because we have lost that servicing attitude. You know, we're not about helping anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're about helping ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll step on anybody to get what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the attitude that our president has displayed from day one. You know, he came in, I will make America great. I will do this. He didn't, you know, he wants to take credit for everything. No, he forgets that when he came, the economy was already on the rise. But it's because of what he's done. So, you know, got to get back to that first love.
Amen.
Right. And that's what's great about studying the Word of God, is that it prepares you to say, this is the kind of stuff that's going to happen. This is why we need to serve. This is why we need to play our role.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why God allows this stuff, so we can see it up front. And like, it's not something that's coming down the road. No, this stuff is here right now. The spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. And and false prophets are alive and well. And all we have to do is turn the news on for 2 minutes. And you can see it. And you have to understand, this is our call to serve. This is our call to tell people, this is just the beginning. This this crazy stuff that you see now, it's not nothing compared to what's going to happen.
That's right.
And we need to educate ourselves and people around us to say, you know, we got to get this message out that there's only one true and one living God.
Right.
And that is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. That is the God that created the heavens and the earth. But man would tell you, and the fool would say in their heart that there is no God. The end of that person is death and destruction. But there's going to be a whole lot of folk. The Bible talks about weeping and gnashing their teeth, because they're going to be too arrogant and too stiff-necked and too hard-headed to bow down and accept God, the true and living God. Sheila,
that's right. Amen. And you see it now, because and you see that in people, that when they're doing, or when something bad happens to them, they look at everybody but themselves, or they blame everything.
Yes.
They don't humble themselves and say, Lord, what do I need to do to make the change? And more and more now we're finding people that will blame everything, everybody, and not take responsibility. And the reason they can't take responsibility for that action is because they're not serving God. Because if you know if you're serving the Lord and you've done something wrong, your spirit is convicted. So you do humble.
Right.
Will you know, just like they said, the president, our current president, never says he's sorry.
Nope.
But if you're truly a servant of God and you've done something wrong, you don't find a way to weed away out of it or blame someone else.
Right.
The Holy Spirit convicts you. And you're like, you know what, Lord, I was wrong. You know what, person, I apologize. Or you make that change within yourselves. And we're finding more and more now, particularly like on jobs, you know, at work, even in the church, where when things go wrong, it's everybody else's fault. Instead of us saying, you know what, maybe that person had a part, but what part did I play in? Lord, speak to me. Let me humble myself. But we're so self-preserved. We want to be so self-preserved and so wrapped up in self that we think there are people that think that they have no fault.
Mm.
And again, that's because you're not close enough to the Lord to recognize and humble yourself. Realize, swallow that pride, because pride is one of the worst sins that you can have. And realize, are a human being, and because you're a human being, Lord, I need to be dependent on you. Lead, guide, direct my path. And that's what we need to teach people, so they can learn to be servants. That being a servant is not a thing. It has many, many rewards.
That's right.
And so we can accept ourselves with faults included because we have grace. And if you aren't close to the Lord, you don't know about that grace, so therefore you can't accept your fault. So therefore, you're pointing the finger at everybody else, and then the devil just gets busy and has a good old time with that pride. And what we need to become is humble ourselves, teach others to be humble, teach others to be servant. But we're finding more and more now people just refuse to acknowledge that they could be wrong, or there's something wrong, or they need to make changes with themselves. It's more of, you just have to accept me for the way I am, because that's just how I am.
Right.
Instead of saying,
right,
why am I that way, or how can I be a better person?
Mm-hmm.
And that is always something that we should ask ourselves every day, is how can I be a better person for God, toward my fellow man? And I think if people will humble themselves and take that approach, that would help deal with the pride, because pride always wants to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the thing, one of the things that got Adam and Eve in trouble was that, you know, they wanted to be wise and be like God. They want to be,
right,
you know, proud to be lifted up. And you know, it was, the tree was able to make one wise. And so, you know,
mm-hmm.
pride, I know something. You know, I'm like God. But I think if we really want to deal with that pride, we have to demonstrate humility.
Right.
I think I'm going to go to the phone line on that and see if we can ask the question, do you think that humility can cause a person to be more like Christ? Can humility cause a person to be more like Christ? I'm going to ask that question. And I'm going to go to the first caller, and last four digits are 1487. 1487, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alice.
Good
Alice.
Evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes. You say, can humility, would you please repeat that for me, please?
Can a humility cause a person to be more like Christ?
Yes, I do believe humility can cause a person to be more like Christ, because it's happened to me just like that. Well, you have to humble yourself. You have to learn how to humble yourself. You have to learn. I had to look in that mirror. I always mm-hmm. step back and not try to be a controlling thing. But, you know, the jobs that I had, my military, the background, that sometimes that'll push you to do things. But even that, you still
mm-hmm,
have
mm-hmm.
to look in that mirror and see, just like the first lady said, what part did you play in this? And Lord, help me
mm-hmm.
to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do believe being humble can help you get closer to Christ and act more like Christ. Yes, I do, because it's
mm-hmm.
changed my life. In a whole different, I done went a whole, what you call it, 180 degree turn, whatever the turn
yeah.
is, I done did
yeah.
it. Okay,
yeah.
and I'm thankful
yeah.
for it, because
Amen.
I could look at myself and because I could humble myself. And that it's very important to be able to do that. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
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 Thank you for your
Amen.
Comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits is 9772. 9772, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
All
right. Listening now, I was just trying to write down so much thing. But anyway, I was listening to
uh-huh.
you talk about that thing you got in the White House. But anyway, he come from the Ku Klux Klan all the way down to the South. His father was before the king and the chief and all that kind of can on. They come all the way from down South. That's why he was so bad to get that old Jones boy, where he was in Alabama, to be in the Senate, because they all the Senate
yeah,
ain't nothing
yeah.
but Ku Klux Klan. They can't help themselves. It makes me so understand and trying to keep God in the head of everybody. It makes me so mad
mm-hmm.
that I fought for Obama, and I lost
mm-hmm.
a political job. I thought I want to be be like a politician, but no, I didn't. But I fought for Obama,
mm-hmm.
and I fought for a long time being in the Senate. I never gave a thought that he'd be in the president house.
Mm-hmm.
Never did think
mm-hmm.
that I would see a black president in that office.
Amen.
But he's only
Amen.
This animal was his only following what Bush left off him. And I thought Obama was going to do something, but then he left and left God out of the house, and he got lost, and
mm-hmm.
he don't know where he was, where he's supposed to be. And this animal got in there and got this thing. And we can't get out of there until we just fight and just hold on to God's hand and let God take him out
That's
of
right.
this thing to get rid
Amen.
Of this little 4 years that we have to deal with him. But it's got to come there, because if it don't, somebody's going to have to do something for this thing. All he is a Ku Klux Klan coming out the woods. And we can't help ourselves. But
right.
we have to hold on to God's hand. And my grandma told me, don't ever be a Republican. And I know where she come from. I see that it's coming out every word she said to me when I was a child. I can't get away from that Bible and leave him and he's going to see Grandmama's words coming out of her mouth.
Amen.
But that's all he is. We got to deal with him until we get him out of that office. That's all we can do.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight.
You're welcome.
All right, we can go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on the air. The question is, being humble, can that help you be more like Christ?
Good evening, everybody. I definitely believe it can. As I've learned over the last few years, that, you know, one of the things that, you know, is a requirement of being a Christian is to become more like Christ, to become closer to Christ. And the way to do that is to go back and study the Word and see how Christ conducted himself. I mean, you think about it, you know,
mm-hmm.
as Sister Gregory touched
mm-hmm.
on and you guys touched on, like, people get these titles and they think they've arrived, but think about it. He was the Son of God walking amongst us, and he's
mm-hmm.
probably the most humble being
yes.
out of everybody on there, you know, and that's what people have to realize. It's like, no matter what title you're given, it can be taken away. You know, things you did to earn it, people quickly forget how they got there once they get, quote-unquote, the title. And I think a lot of times when people get titles, they forget, they get amnesia, and all of a sudden things don't work out, and they're wondering, like, well, why would I be blessed with this? And now things start to not shape out the way that I thought they were. Now I'm not really enjoying it as I thought I would, because you forgot how
mm-hmm.
you got there. And you forgot that one of the main things is that when you arrive and you get to a certain place, you have to sustain that. You have to remember that there's work to do. And a lot of people don't realize
right.
that when
right.
you have a title, there's a responsibility that comes with it. There's work that comes with it, regardless of what it is. Wherever you are on the totem pole, you have a job function. You're part of the greater part of the organization. You have a role, somebody else has a role, whether you're leading it, whether somebody's reporting to you, no matter what it is, we all have a role, and that's basically what
mm-hmm.
it is. But what you end up finding is that people get these titles and they start forgetting about what their roles and responsibility is, and that it's a team, it's a group effort. There's something that has to be
right.
accomplished for the greater good of your team, whether it be an organization, whether it be a church, whether it be work-related, whatever it is. You people forget, and they begin to make it about self, and you have to look back and realize that Christ was not about
mm-hmm.
that. Christ walked amongst us. His job was to teach us, to get us closer to God, and kind of explain us, like, hey, if you don't start living right and doing these things, here's what's going to happen. And not everybody believed
right.
in him. As I stated before, you know, a lot of, you know, some of those old biblical movies we watch and some of those reenactments, yeah, Christ had a crowd, but guess
mm-hmm.
what? There were also people who were walking
That's
right by, not paying him any mind, and you have to realize, you know, where are their souls now? So, you know, we can only teach people and take on that responsibility that was given to us. But, you know, I've told people, don't beat it over the head, people over the head with it. If you've been called to minister in some way, shape, or form, that, you know, we have a responsibility to just plant the seed and then basically fall back.
Right.
And, you know, in time it'll grow. It may not grow when you want it to, but
yes.
it'll grow
yeah.
when God wants it to. But you have to be humble. You can't say, oh, well, God's given me this calling to do this, so I'm just going to go about it and do it my way. You have to pray, and you have to allow God to lead you, and that's the only way you're going to be successful and continue to grow. Because one of the other things people forget when we're talking about humility is like, hey, when you reach that
mm-hmm.
milestone, the journey is just beginning. You haven't arrived, and it's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
now there's no work to be done, or I can't grow, I can't learn anymore, because, well, I already did all that before I got this title. So once I became, use myself again, once I became
uh-huh.
into music, I'm good. I don't got to learn no more songs. I don't got to rehearse. I don't have to practice. I don't have to read the countless emails Sister Gregory send me with song lists on it and stuff like that. So I don't have to do that because I did all that before. Now I don't have to do it because I've got
right.
this title now. So guess what? I'll do what I
right.
want to do. I'll get to it when I want to. No, that's when the work begins, because you've been given that title. You've been given that responsibility for a reason. So
yeah.
that way you can grow and bring others with you. But I think people forget about it because in it's human nature. I've even had to check myself. Like, you know, sometimes you feel good. You're like, man, you know, feels good to kind of have this title. But understand, you can kind of live in the moment,
mm-hmm.
but it's just only a moment in time. You have to humble yourself, as
right.
Ali stated, you know, look in the mirror and say, look, it's great. I got this title. I know the hard work
yeah,
that
yeah.
took me to get to this point. But remember the hard work that helped you get there, because that's what's going to continue to help you sustain and continue to grow and level up, get to that next level. You got to one level, you look up, there are more levels that you can get to, but you got to remain
yeah,
humble, because
yeah.
having a humble attitude allows you to, most importantly, and I think we all know it, especially you guys being in the church, it also helps you deal with people, because I think people is kind of that gray area, that X factor that always seems
mm-hmm.
to kind of be that one variable when things tend to go wrong, when you're having to deal with people, when you're trying to teach people when you have the title, and you may have some naysayers that may not believe that you were the chosen one for this title. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the things that I think people have to learn with humility. It's like, yeah, you can kind of be a decision maker, but try to incorporate people too, because I know plenty of people that are prepared to do a function that may have even been perfect example.
Yeah.
Pastor Gregory chose me to be the minister of music. I know plenty of people that God may have basically prepared, but I was basically called for this. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't prepared. I didn't go to school for this or anything like that. So I basically look at God prepared me for this calling, as opposed to some people saying, well, look, you know, God basically called me for this. But no, it was basically saying I was basically prepared. God was working with me all along for this calling. And that's basically what it was, is that, you know, I looked at my situation like God didn't necessarily call a prepared person to come to New Birth and do it. He basically said, you know what, I'm going to prepare Brandon. I'm going to prepare Brandon for his calling. He may not be ready to receive his calling yet, but I'm going to prepare him. And part of that process was me going to New Birth, going through the ups and downs, going through those things. So I also believe, too, that God prepares people for their calling. Hence why we say sometimes, you know what, why haven't I received my blessing yet? Because God hasn't prepared. You haven't prepared yourself or done those steps where God feels that you're prepared to receive it. And that's probably why that I became a minister of music now, because it wasn't even on my radar. I was just going through life, worrying about what I could control, and all of a sudden, one church told me, hey, we don't want you to come back no more. Okay, that's fine. You know, good luck to you. You know, still maintain a relationship. Don't know, burn no bridges. And guess what? In February, it'll be 6 years that I've been here, and I've learned so much, and I've grown, and I appreciate that. But I've always remained humbled. I've always remained hungry. And Pastor, tell you, I've grown since I've been here. It wasn't like, okay, you minister music, you show up on Sundays and play. I would have never thought in a million years I would have been where I am now, calling in on prayer. So making sure I'm where I'm supposed to be. Okay, it's 7:55. Where am I at? Can I get in my office and close the door for an hour? Can I, you know what I'm saying, making arrangements to plan for God. But I've always had a humble spirit and remained humble. But when you're called by God and you have that humility, be prepared to roll your sleeves up and really work, because that's where the true work begins. And not a lot of people can actually say that, you know what, when I've been blessed or when I've been called to something, 4 or 5 years later, I'm still in that position. A lot of people fall off because they realize that they're not ready for it, because they begin making it about themselves. But with humility, just like all the other things that we've talked about, it's just a stepping stone in getting closer to God and closer to that walk. But I definitely believe humility is something that you have to have, because if we're serious about growing with Christ and getting closer with God, you have to have humility, because that's what Christ had. So if we're technically Christians trying to be Christ-like, then guess what? Humility is a part of that equation. You have to remain humble. Amen.
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 Amen. Well said.
Before you to go to the next caller, the last four digits is 0373. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You must be humble in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And first of all, to even accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you must realize that you need him. And without his grace, you're nothing at all.
Amen.
And so,
Lord have mercy.
So in order for you to serve Christ, you have to have a humble heart and a humble spirit, a serving heart and a serving spirit. And as you get into his word, you realize that it's not all about you. It's about Jesus. And the more you learn about him, the more you realize that you're not as important as you think you are. And so when we humble ourselves before the Lord, then God can exalt us. When we have a humble heart, God can promote us. When we have a humble heart, not only that, we can love others. Because if we all proud and arrogant and, you know, full of pride and everything, we don't have time to deal with other people, because we
love
self-centered.
Amen.
So in order to grow spiritually, we must every day ask God, help me to stay humble and focused. And if we stay humble and focused and ask God to help us to do that, then we can constantly be his servant. But a lot of times we love the power, we love to be stroked, you know, we love to feel important. And so these are the dangers. When we want that and we feel like we always got to be patted on the back or receive compliments from somebody, then we get into that danger of being more than what we think we are. I've done it all by myself. So in order for us to grow spiritually, we constantly have to pray and ask God, keep me humble, keep me meek, so that I won't get caught up in temptation.
That's right.
I won't think, think more highly of myself than what I ought to think.
Amen.
And sometimes that happens. And, you know, we want to be encouraged, and we do need to be encouraged sometimes. And it's all right to get compliments, but give it to God. When somebody compliments you, you can tell them thank you, but with the help of the Lord, I was able to do this. You know, give God the glory. And as long as we stay humble, then we can be God's servant. But when we become prideful, then, you know, we are opening the door for the enemy to come in and use us.
Right. Amen.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we got one more caller and a few more minutes. Caller, last four digits, 8272, you're on air.
Hi, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Missy. I really do believe you have to have humility and, you know, be humble to be like Christ. Like, I have been praying for, you know, to God, like, change my living situation, like, forever, I'm going to say within the last year. And I just kept saying, I'm like, God, I know you do not want me here in this place. Like, do you see this place? Like, this is not going to be my, how my mother would say it, her happy ever after. So, like, I didn't have so many obstacles of this process. And, like, Brandon was just saying that, you know, God prepares you for certain things. And he allows you to go through certain things to prepare you for the blessing that he has for you. Like, he knows you're going to get frustrated. He know, you know what I'm saying, he really wants to see if you want, how strong is your faith and everything. So I never gave up because I know God had my back. So once I, you know, when I start doing Bible study more and start reading my Bible more, and even I've been coming in contact with more Christians, whatever. And it was, like, extended, like, family members that's, like, related to my kids, not necessarily my blood family members, but they related to my kids. And we had certain conversations, and they gave me certain scriptures to read and everything. So this week I went to see about an apartment. You know, I had to stand in line for like 2 hours in the cold, like hands freezing and everything. But this time when I stood there, because the last time when I had to stand in line for hours, I didn't get no good results. Like, it wasn't no good results behind it, and the process wasn't good. But I got so much good feedback from this particular apartment and everything. But then when it was my turn to fill out the application and turn in my paperwork, I had everything except one of my kids' birth certificates. And I was like, oh no, Lord, this cannot be happening. So the lady had said, Miss Long, she said, I'm going to give you till tomorrow, but you got to be back here by 12 o'clock to bring it back. So I went home or whatever, I didn't even worry about it. I came home. I was so tired and everything. I haven't eaten nothing all that day. Like, we was at that place from, and then the apartment is, like, literally a block and a half away from the church. So I was like, it's just everything was just good, except for that daggone birth certificate that I forgot. So I got home. I wasn't even upset or nothing. And as sad as I was, I came home and made me some homemade pasta salad, a whole big pan of it. And I also made my best friend, who I call my sister, I made her a pan of it too. So when my mom came home that night, I told her about the situation. We stayed up till, my mother stayed up till 2:15 that morning with me, and I still haven't eaten nothing after I made the pasta salad, because I had to eat it when it got nice and cold. So I still haven't eaten nothing, not a snack, nothing. So my mother was like, come on here, we going to find this birth certificate. I said, Mom, I have no idea where that birth certificate could be. Like, I don't understand why all the other kids' birth certificates is together except for that one. And the one birth certificate who I was looking for was Zion's birth certificate. And I was like, ain't this something? I was like, God, I don't know what you're trying to tell me or what this is meaning. I said, but I'm going to find this birth certificate. So my mother just kept saying, look at one of your handbags that you don't carry no more. I was like, Mom, it's not in them handbags. Like, I've been cleaning them handbags out. And so me being hard-headed, excuse me, I didn't want to listen to her. The whole time we looking through, like, all this other paperwork. I found my old Social Security card with my mother's last name on there before she changed it for me to have my dad's last name. So she decided to go in the closet and look in one of my old handbags that I used to carry. And it was one of my bags that I used to carry to church. And she said, what is this right here? And I was like, oh, my God, it was Zion's birth certificate. Y'all don't know how much praise I was giving in here. I know people was like, what is she over there doing at this time of morning? I was just shouting in here, like, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I don't know how many times I said it. I was crying at everything. I was like, oh, my God, thank you, Mom. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. So she said, you know what? She said, get a folder, write kids' documents, and put it in one spot, and we both know where it says. So that's what we did. So she said, you sure that's all you got to take back? I said, Ma, I'm positive. The lady said, if I just come, as long as I be back by 12 o'clock. So my godfather took me down there, but I got there so early, y'all. The place wasn't even open. So I said, you know what, Granddad? I said, I said, just draw me off right here. I said, I'm going to wait. Because the lady told me I didn't have to wait in line or nothing. And it was already people in line, like they had their cookout chairs. It was so funny. They had their lounge chairs. Like, I was like, oh, my goodness, no. So, because the office ain't open up till 9 o'clock. I got down there at 7:55. So when the doors finally open, and they said the people who were bringing documents back only come this way, I was like, oh, thank you, Chief. I didn't have to get in that line with the people with the lawn chairs. Oh, thank you. I was crazy. People was looking at me like I had lost my mind. I was like, y'all can stay all y'all want. Y'all don't even know the half of why I'm praising him right now. So just go about your business. And I was just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I gave. She said, oh, Miss Long, you came back. I said, yes. So she said, here. She said, go ahead and fill the first part out over. And I'm going to put this in your folder. So I said, well, when would I hear something? She told me to call after the 15th. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because they had already said the people who had came that first day, which was Monday, because I didn't go Monday because I had to go to my treatment. So that Monday, like, it was a whole bunch of people out there. People had, like, camped out, had blankets. Like, it was crazy out there. And I was like, well, thank God I didn't come on the first day. But then again, I should have, but I was like, no. I was like, because this blessing right here is for me. What God has for you, believe him. It's for you. Long as you stay, you know, good in your faith and you're humble, you stay humble, he got you. So the people the day before, she was like, she had told them, you know, they will be moving in within 30 days. And then I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, that is great. And then she had told me, she was like, Ms. Long, just call after the 15th because we got to, you know, get everybody paperwork together, she said, but call after the 15th. I was like, oh, my God, thank you. I know, I feel it in my spirit that this is the last stop. Like, this is our ever, how my mother said, I'll ever happy ever after, or however she said, or whatever, because it's just, it gotta be like, it's so convenient, it's a block and a half away from New Birth, so therefore, I don't have no excuse of, oh, I couldn't get to church. No, I can literally walk to church. If I have to walk there in my pajamas, which I won't, y'all won't see me in my pajamas, but I'm just saying. I can literally walk there. I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, yes. I was like, Ma, I said, I really feel good about this one. And she was just like, okay. She was like, we just going to have patience and let everything process and everything. Because she had already started, like, buying stuff. We had, like, started buying little stuff and just storing it away or whatever. And
we're looking forward to your praise report.
Yes.
We're looking forward to your praise report. We thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to let Sheila G, we're going to ask you to close us out, your last comment, and close us up.
Just God is truly, truly, truly good and an honor and a blessing. And we've just seen illustrations tonight of how it makes a difference to stay humble in the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for how you watched over each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you for this lesson tonight. And I pray, Father, that each and every one of us know to be humble, and so that we can be more and more like you, not looking at ourselves, but looking to the hills from which cometh our help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.